Today, we want to look at the scriptures and look at being a sweetheart. You know, every spouse wants a sweetheart. Every parent wants a child to be a sweetheart. We all want each other to be sweet in our personalities. But the problem is that we always want the other person to be a sweetheart whenever the scripture tells us that we should first of all strive to be a sweetheart. You see, if we transform ourselves into sweethearts, those around us are going to be sweet to us. Well, you see, the deal is that we need to turn our attention from what our spouse does, what others do, and start concentrating on what we do. We want to concentrate on fulfilling our spouse's expectations, needs, and desires. We want to concentrate on fulfilling our boss's desires, expectations of us. In fact, let me share with you a phrase from Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Now notice that. Hope deferred, now I'm using the word hope here in the sense of expectation or desire. Desires deferred make the heart sick. Proverbs 13, verse 12. In other words, disappointed expectations create sadness in our hearts and resentment. Disappointed expectations create resentment against the one who disappoints us. And that's the key to so much relationship disharmony. We have expectations for this employee, of our boss, of our spouse. And whenever they fail our expectations, it's very easy for resentment to well up within our hearts. That's what hope deferred makes the heart sick means. Well, let's go on to another verse in the same chapter, Proverbs 13, verse 12. Notice the statement. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. A longing, an intense desire fulfilled is a tree or a source of life. In other words, fulfilled expectations enliven us, filling us with zest for relationship. You see, in a marriage, there will be zest for a relationship with your spouse as you meet their needs, care about their desires, and strive to fulfill their expectations. Much of the lack of love in our relationships simply comes from our longings, our yearnings, our desires not being met by another. Well, one more scripture from the same chapter, Proverbs 13, this time verse number 19. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. Isn't that great? A longing fulfilled, a desire fulfilled, is sweet to the soul. Fulfilled expectations make us inwardly sweet. So sweethearts strive to fulfill the desires of the one they love. That's the way it is with us and God. Whenever we treat God sweetly, then we strive to fulfill His desires and fulfill His expectations and satisfy His needs. Well, that works the same way in our relationship with humans. As we strive to fulfill the desires of the ones we love, then they become inwardly sweet. You can transform your spouse into a sweetheart by treating them the same way God treats you. And you know what God does? The Lord strives to fulfill our desires and expectations. Let's let Dolores read for us Psalm 145, verse number 19.
He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him.
Look at that. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. That's the God to whom we belong. So if we're going to walk in His steps, then we want to start paying attention to the desires of those we love, especially of our spouse. Well, let's share with you now what sweethearts do. We found that sweethearts should be striving to fulfill the desires of those they love. Well, let's go through this now and see how we actually implement this idea of fulfilling desires of those we love. Sweethearts, first of all, care about their spouse's expectations. Or we could say we care about our boss's expectations, our parents' expectations. Sweethearts care about their spouse's expectations. You see, men and women enter marriage with both common and unique expectations. We're going to go to a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Let's read here.
Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Notice the command. The husband is to love his wife, and the wife is to respect her husband. I used to wonder why the command wasn't the same to both. Why does it say, husbands, respect your wives, and wives, respect the husbands? Or why does it say, wives, love your husbands, and husbands, love your wives? Well, one day, a couple visited my office, and they were struggling in their relationship. The wife was saying, he doesn't believe I love him. And the husband was saying, you don't love me. And so this went on for a few minutes. She insisted she loved him. He insisted she didn't. Until finally I said, okay, let's take a break. Now, Mr. Husband, why do you say she doesn't love you while she's insisting she does? He said, that's easy, Pastor. She doesn't listen to me. And immediately, Ephesians 5:33 came to mind. Wives, respect your husbands. And this man felt his wife wasn't respecting him. You see, men interpret respect as love. Men and women are so different emotionally that men regard respect as love, and women need to be loved. Of course, they need to be respected also, but if a man loves his wife, she will feel respected. But it doesn't work that way in a man's mind. He needs the respect of his wife to know that she loves him. So you see, men and women enter marriage with some very different expectations. He needs respect. She needs to know that she is loved. Well, what we want to do is start learning our spouse's expectations, even though they are very different from our own. Let me give you another illustration. There was a lady that I read about. She said that when she and her engineering fiancé were dating, he was a very typical engineer, very calculating. That she said he wore a crew cut, very short hair, and always had a pencil behind his ear and carried a yellow notepad. Well, one night they went out to dinner and he pulled out his notepad and said, honey, I want to share with you 15 reasons why we should get married. Well, she started laughing. She thought it was so funny. And yet he was completely serious. That's just the way he thought. That was his engineering mind. Well, they were very different. No doubt about that. And yet they were meant for each other. He needed to approach love from his way, his calculated way, and she needed to approach love from her emotional way. Neither way is incorrect. They are both right, but we are just all made differently. And so, since we are different, we have to start caring about our spouse's expectations. You see, sweethearts pay attention to their married partner's desires, needs, and expectations. We need to pay attention to them and not write them off as stupid or silly or unimportant. No. In fact, let me share with you. sweethearts see themselves as God's instrument for fulfilling their spouse's desires. You are God's instrument. God holds you in His hand as His instrument, His screwdriver, His hammer, His saw, or His spatula. You are His instrument in fulfilling His desires for your spouse's life. God has a will. God has a plan for the person you married. And instead of insisting that they always do things to help you, you should be looking for ways you can be God's helper in fulfilling His purposes for their life. In fact, I often ask the Lord, Jesus, use me as a man who is your partner in fulfilling your purposes and plans and desires for Dolores' life. That needs to be our prayer, brother, sister. And so, as we care about our spouse's needs and desires and expectations, then we also have to accept our responsibility for our partner's heart sickness. Let's go to Proverbs again, chapter 13, verse number 12. Would you read that, Dee?
Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Did you hear that? Hope deferred. Defer means to postpone, to cancel, to put off. So it says, whenever our hopes, our expectations, our desires are put off, are canceled, are disappointed, then it makes our heart sick. Well, this happened in our early marriage. I was a typical young man focused on my profession, pastoring. I was gone a lot from our home, especially in the evenings. And I began to notice that Dolores was, her personality was changing. That bubbly personality was becoming less zestful. She was becoming less happy. And we talked about this, and we decided that I was the problem. We never dated. We were married, had been married for several years, well, a few years, but we didn't date. I was gone so often in the evenings without Dolores, and that was after being away from her all day long. Well, we decided that we were going to start dating. And we took Friday night as our date night. And I didn't make any more appointments on Friday nights. Of course, I would accept appointments, weddings, wedding receptions, or emergencies. But I never initiated any more appointments. My appointment on Friday night was with my wife. I wanted to be with her. I wanted to meet her need for me. I'll tell you, this decision added such sparkle to our relationship. It was such a huge blessing to us. I, instead of disappointing Dolores' expectations, I started meeting her expectations. I strove to be what she needed me to be. Sure, as a very energetic young man in his mid-20s, I loved my job. I was always giving myself totally to the work of the ministry, but I wasn't giving myself to my wife and meeting her needs. So I was the cause of her heart sickness. So I also became the cure for Dolores' heart sickness. You know, Dee and I have a friend named Dr. Wilford Kent. In the 1970s, he held a couple of marriage seminars for us. And one day in private, Dr. Kent was telling me about an incident in Houston, Texas. He had a practice in Houston. And he said that a medical doctor and his very attractive wife were coming for counseling, for marriage counseling. And after about the second session, Dr. Kent began realizing that this man considered his wife a very beautiful woman and maybe a trophy wife. He liked showing her off at parties and social events. But he didn't have much time for her other than that. So she was downhearted and not a happy person at all. And so Dr. Kent pushed his chair back from his desk one day and went to the medical doctor and said, "Sir, do you want me to deal with the cause or the cure for your marital problems?" The doctor thought a moment and he realized that he was the cause of his wife's heart sickness. And he said to my friend, "Well, let's deal with the cause." And so he and Dr. Kent worked together in making him the kind of husband that his wife needed. And he started being interested in meeting her needs for him, spending time with her, apart from just meal times. Okay, so sweethearts care about their spouse's expectations, or you can apply it to your job. You need to care about your boss's expectations, your teacher's expectations, their needs, their desires, their requirements of you. And, of course, this is what we want to do for the Lord. We want to care about His feelings. Okay, let's go on to the next point here. The next thing that sweethearts do, they accept their spouse's needs, desires, and expectations. Now notice the key word here. They accept their spouse's needs. You see, God created us physically and emotionally and mentally. And I don't care what society says, men and women are very, very different mentally and emotionally. But God made us both. One is not inferior to the other. Males are not superior to females. Females are not superior to males. In fact, let's go to a verse in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 22.
"The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man."
Here the scripture plainly says that God made both of us, both male and female. We are his creation. Sure, we obviously are very different physically, but let's talk about emotionally. Let's read Psalm 139, verse number 13.
"For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb."
Did you hear the first part of the verse? You created my inmost being. Now, the inmost being is not talking about our heart, our stomach, our organs. It's talking about our personality, our aptitudes, our emotional makeup. So God created all of us, male and female, emotionally and intellectually as well as physically. And He made us different on purpose. Again, male and female are not superior to one another. This idea of the battle of the sexes, that's a worldly idea that separates us. God didn't make us different to separate us. He made us different so we could complement one another and fit together, so that both of us together could become stronger than either of us are separately. Well, we want to accept our spouse's differences. I remember one seminar we conducted. I was so amused in our discussion. The pastor's wife said, "You know, in September, my husband starts getting ready for deer season. And there's even a personality change in him," she said. "He starts thinking about the outdoors, about getting the deer blind ready, preparing his vehicle. It's just a really amazing personality change in him." Well, now, she couldn't comprehend how he could change so much, and she couldn't understand why anyone would want to go out early in the morning when it's freezing cold and sit around waiting for a deer to wander by. Men have trouble understanding women also and their desires and their ideas. In fact, Dolores and I are very different in many, many ways. We say that the only thing we have in common is that we both breathe air. Other than that, we're different in so many ways. Let me give you an example. I love doing my extensive fellowship time with the Lord outside. My backyard is my primary prayer room. Doris likes it inside. She says there's too many bugs outside, too much wind. But I love it outside. She loves it inside. Well, that's just a little illustration of how we are different. Well, for the sister, we have to accept our spouse's differences and not demean them, belittle them. We don't want to try changing our spouse either. The worst thing we can do in our relationship is trying to make our spouse like us. That builds resentment and anger. We feel like the other person in our marriage doesn't appreciate us. So forget that idea of trying to change your spouse and make them like you. That was never God's intention at all. We want to accept our spouse's expectations, their desires, their needs. We want to accept them without understanding them. Now remember, accepting another person isn't the same as understanding another person. There are many things about Dolores that I will never understand, but I accept her because I love her, and vice versa. There are many things about me that she will never be able to comprehend, but she accepts me the way I am. Well, that's because true love is unselfish. You know, I think that marriage, one of its main objectives, is robbing us of selfishness. All of us humans are full of self-centered ways, feelings, and desires. But love is unselfish. Love is other-centered. Remember what the Bible says in John 3:16? God so loved the world that He gave. Love is all about giving. Love is not about getting. So, we want to take you to a couple of verses, which I think could help us in our marriage relationships. If you have a pencil, why don't you write down 1 Corinthians 10:24, and also Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let me give you those again. 1 Corinthians 10:24 and Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Okay, let's read the 1 Corinthians 10:24.
Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others.
Isn't that beautiful? We must not seek our own good if we have to step on another to achieve it. Now, we have to seek our own good, of course. We have to take care of our physical needs. We have to see that our hygiene is taken care of. We have to feed ourselves. We have to sleep properly. It's not saying we don't take care of our own needs. It's saying we submit or subject our needs to the needs of another, if we have to. In fact, love will cause you to want to do that. Your parents, your grandparents, you have subjected your needs to the needs of your children. When they were little ones, when you brought them home from the hospital, you didn't care if they woke up at 3 a.m. crying for a bottle or a change. You denied yourself and got up out of bed and took care of them because you loved them. Well, it works the same way in our relationship with adults. We want to accept their needs, even if we can't understand them. Don't try to understand them. Just accept them and do your best to meet their needs. Philippians now, chapter 3, verse number 3 and 4.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Did you hear that? Don't look only to your interest, but also to the interest of others. That's what love is. So we need to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Jesus, make me a sweetheart. Because you know that if you become a sweetheart, your spouse is going to respond in kind. They're going to treat you in ways that you never dreamed they could do. Kindness breeds kindness. Patience breeds patience. And that's what we want to do as we face Valentine's, is say, God, make me a sweetheart who cares about my spouse's expectations and needs. A sweetheart who accepts their expectations and needs. And Jesus, we're going to pray, make me unselfish. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. You are truly the model, the perfect model of love. And now, God, we want to model our lives after Jesus' example. So, Jesus, come by your Spirit and help us to care about our spouse's needs and desires, and help us accept them and unselfishly strive to satisfy the desires and needs of the one we love. In your precious name, Lord, amen.